Welcome to the Releasing Advocates Public Opinion Poll on Driverless Cars conference call. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session for media only. If media would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. You may start your call.
Good morning. My name is Kathy Chase. I'm the president of Advocates for Highway and Auto Safety. Advocates is a coalition of consumer health and safety groups and property casualty insurance companies working together to advance safer cars, safer drivers, and safer roads. For some time, auto and tech companies have been promoting the development of autonomous vehicles, also known as driverless cars, as the panacea to address our nation's epidemic of highway deaths and injuries. Just this week at the Consumer Electronics Show, or CES, in Las Vegas, many companies showcase driverless cars. And as the Detroit Auto Show kicks off this weekend, there will no doubt be futuristic autonomous technology on display. For months now, Congress has been drafting and debating legislation that will determine the so-called rules of the road for driverless cars. The bill seeks to accommodate the industry's desire to remove regulatory roadblocks and minimize reporting requirements that they find objectionable. The House of Representatives passed the Self-Drive Act, H.R. 3388, on September 6th of last year, and the Senate AV START Act, S. 1885, was reported out of the Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation on October 4th, 2017, and is awaiting floor action. These bills currently lack basic safeguards that protect the public and would minimize problems, and we know there will be some. Meanwhile, the U.S. Department of Transportation, or DOT, has only issued voluntary guidelines for driverless cars. Voluntary guidelines are completely unenforceable and allow manufacturers to abide by or disregard as they so choose. One of the recommended but not required actions is to submit to DOT a report on the development of automatic driving technology. To date, only two companies have submitted a report to DOT, and they are more like slick marketing brochures than detailed reports on the performance of vehicles. Advocates has been alarmed at both DOT's passive role in overseeing the introduction of driverless cars into the marketplace, as well as pro-industry bills being advanced in Congress. We sought to determine what the American public thinks about the direction Congress and DOT is taking right now as they determine roles and responsibilities of the federal government and auto manufacturers for the foreseeable future. These polls should be an urgent wake-up call to Congress and DOT to change course. This is critical, not only to ensure the safety of driverless cars, but also to earn public support for this new technology. One of the most important findings of this poll is that nearly two-thirds of respondents are concerned about sharing the road with driverless cars. This serious apprehension was shared among major segments of society, from millennials to baby boomers, on both sides of the political aisle, with different income and education levels, as well as across the nation. Further, this opinion echoes similar polls released by groups like Pew Research Center and Kelley Blue Book, which also found deep public skepticism about driverless cars. Let me be clear. Advocates and the other safety leaders on this call today have been champions of vehicle technology for decades. So, too, do we believe that driverless cars have the potential to significantly reduce crashes, which, on average, kill approximately 100 people and injure 6,500 more each day. We believe proven technologies will play a key role in reducing these grim numbers. However, missteps, mistakes, or setbacks involving driverless cars will further hamper public acceptance and consumer confidence and jeopardize its promise. Today, we urge our nation's leaders to listen carefully to the concerns of the American public and to take an immediate correction course to address significant safety shortcomings and serious public concerns revealed in the poll. Each speaker on our call today will detail the specific issues covered by the survey and reveal the results. Our terrific lineup includes Dr. Sean Kildare, Advocates Director of Research, Jackie Gillen, Advocates President Emeritus, Joan Claybrook, former administrator of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, and Jack Gillis, author of the Car Book and director of public affairs for the Consumer Federation of America. First, Dr. Sean Kildare, Advocates Director of Research, will provide an explanation of the survey methodology and then give an overview of the poll findings. Dr. Kildare has extensive experience in vehicle technology and engineering. He has also worked as a crash investigator. Sean.
Thank you, Kathy. I'm Sean Kildare, Director of Research at Advocates. I'll be providing a brief background on the methodology as well as an overview of the results of the survey. This survey was a caravan poll conducted via telephone by ORC International from December 7th through December 10th of 2017. The probability-based sample was 1,005 adults living in the continental United States. The overall margin of error for this survey was plus or minus 3.09% at the 95% confidence level. The overall survey examined individuals' responses to a series of questions about driverless cars. Questions range from gauging a respondent's comfort with sharing the road with these vehicles to determining support for or opposition to proposals for regulation of them. In addition to overall responses to the questions, respondents were grouped according to various demographics. These demographics included age, generation, such as millennial, Gen X, or baby boomers, region of residence, household income, gender, and political affiliation. The in-depth discussion of the results from each of the questions will be presented by other speakers on this call. The report we are releasing today shows the poll results, and where applicable, the results are broken down by age, income level, and geographic location. At the end of the report is a short summary of findings. In general, the results of the survey illustrate the widespread concern the public has with driverless cars and the strong desire for a hands-on approach by the federal government. The issues selected for the poll are topics that are being publicly debated in the press or in the legislation before Congress. Clear majorities of respondents support the need for DOT involvement and oversight, and they see a need for consumer information to help them understand the capabilities and limitations of autonomous vehicles. Similarly, respondents express concerns with proposals that could put their safety in jeopardy. Answers were consistent among the demographic groups and indicate that concern spans across segments of society. For example, concerns with sharing the road with driverless cars and increases in exemptions from safety standards were consistent regardless of education level or region of residence. Support for standards for electronics or safety performance of driverless cars was similarly consistent across demographics. Contrary to popular belief, the results of the study show that regardless of whether someone is a baby boomer or millennial, there is absolutely an interest in the safety and reliability of driverless cars.
Thank you, Sean. Our next speaker will be Jackie Gillen, President Emeritus of Advocates, who has been on the front lines for decades fighting for vehicle safety technologies in cars, including airbags, electronic stability control, and rear-view cameras, among many others. Thank you for joining us today, Jackie.
Thank you, Kathy. This morning, I'd like to discuss several key safety issues at stake in the public policy debates going on right now in Congress and at DOT and with the public about the future of driverless cars. The poll results show that the public holds really strong views on several of these issues that were included in the House and Senate bills, as well as those issues that were left out of the legislation. For the past year, the industry has been making bold statements and hyped claims that driverless cars are ready to be rolled out. The viewpoint of many in the auto industry is that DOT motor vehicle safety regulations hamper progress and hinder plans to get driverless cars to the marketplace. Their supporters in Congress of this position responded with federal legislation that refuses to say no to the auto industry requests, no matter how reasonable, no matter how unsafe, or no matter how unpopular these requests may be. I want to share with you a few of the industry-supported provisions contained in the House and Senate bills that run contrary to public opinion. The House and Senate bills have no requirements at all for automakers to meet minimum DOT performance standards prior to publicly selling vehicles equipped with new automatic driving features. The poll shows that 73% of respondents support DOT developing such safety standards. I think it's really interesting to note that on this question, millennials, or those between the ages of 18 and 36, have the highest support for DOT standards at 79%. Another major ask of the auto and tech industries is to remove current limits on the public sale of cars that do not meet existing federal safety standards. Again, the House and Senate bills accommodate industries' requests by significantly raising the federal limit. Right now, current law allows automakers unlimited exemptions from federal safety standards but only for testing purposes. Let me repeat that, only for testing purposes and not for public sale. Also, vehicles sold to the public that have safety exemptions are limited to 2,500 annually. In the House incentive bills, these common sense restrictions have been gutted to allow each manufacturer to publicly sell as many as 100,000 vehicles exempt from safety standards. So you can imagine if you have 10 manufacturers each seeking 100,000, you're talking about millions of cars on the road that are going to be exempt from safety standards. In the poll, 3 out of every 5 poll respondents are not comfortable with Congress changing the law to allow unproven technologies that do not meet proven safety standards. This concern was shared equally across the political spectrum, across the country, across all levels of education, and across all levels of household income. Another important provision, the Senate bill, overturns longstanding federal safety law. It allows automakers, without any prior review or approval by the U.S. DOT, to disable vehicle controls such as the steering wheel, brake, and gas pedals when the autonomous vehicle is being operated by a computer. No requirement for DOT prior approval. They could just make that decision on their own. These vehicle controls are really the safety lifelines for a human driver if the computer driver malfunctions. Again, the poll shows that when asked about this, 3 out of 4 respondents are not comfortable with allowing automakers to disconnect critical safety equipment without any evaluation by DOT. Public concern was again consistent across all regions of the country, all political affiliations, gender, household, and income. The poll clearly shows that the public does not endorse these positions taken by the industry and reflected in the House and Senate bills that are currently being debated. In fact, the overwhelming public response to these proposals, as expressed in the poll, is essentially no thank you on those provisions. Just this week at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, auto and tech industry leaders were quoted in various news articles about the time frame for introducing driverless cars. There seems to be quite a change now in the dates and timeline that they're telling us about. The chief executive officer of Toyota Research admitted, quote, "Things are changing rapidly, but this will be a long journey." Lyft's chief strategy officer stated, "You're going to need human drivers for a very long time." And I could go on and quote 5 or 6 other quotes from industry, but the consensus among many of the leaders in the driverless car revolution is that plenty of major hurdles remain. These poll results, combined with the reality that driverless cars are still many, many years away, call for a balanced approach to protect public safety and promote consumer confidence in the technology. The House and Senate bills lack this balance, and that needs to be changed. So I think the most important question to answer is, why are we rushing through a bill for a new technologies that are not going to be here and jeopardizing the safety of the American public?
Thank you, Jackie, for those really powerful insights. Now I'd like to introduce Joan Claybrook, who led the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration during the Carter administration. Joan is one of our nation's top safety leaders who has saved countless lives over the years through her commitment to securing strong motor vehicle safety standards and policies. Joan, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much, and good morning, everybody. When I was administrator of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration during the Carter years, airbags and other new innovative technologies were being developed to protect consumers in a crash. During my tenure as administrator, I issued numerous federal safety standards, including the airbag standard, and I did so for several important reasons. First, it was crucial to accelerate the availability of this life-saving technology to the public. Second, it was essential to instill consumer confidence in this new technology. And third, it was imperative that they be installed in all cars, not just some. This approach produced tremendous results. Over the last 30 years, airbags have saved over 45,000 lives in crashes on U.S. roads. And, of course, they also are protective in international traffic. And the public views airbags in much the same way as seatbelts, as vital to surviving a crash. Similarly, we are today at the beginning of a brave new world regarding the advent of innovative technologies that could lead to some form of autonomous vehicles. Even today, our car is essentially our computers on wheels. It is critical that the U.S. Department of Transportation implement its statutory mandate and issue vehicle safety standards for autonomous cars. The last thing the public wants to have is to have DOT standing on the sidelines, allowing auto and tech companies to build and sell cars equipped with new technologies that do not have to meet minimum government requirements. Standards are necessary to guarantee their performance in all driving situations and in all road conditions. For example, there is nothing in DOT's agenda or in the legislation that would require the testing of the vehicle's ability to see and have proper vision in all circumstances. Congress needs to wake up and insist that DOT acts. Otherwise, it will not do so. When a family walks into an auto dealership, it must be assured that a minimum level of safety is built into all cars, and especially those with driverless capabilities. The Caravan poll being released today strongly shows that the American public has this expectation. When asked if they support minimum performance requirements for the computers and electronics that operate driverless cars, the answer is a resounding yes. The Department of Transportation has minimum performance requirements for computers which operate commercial airlines, but they have no plans to do so for autonomous cars. 80% of poll respondents said there should be similar requirements for the computers and electronics that operate their cars. Early models of driverless cars being introduced will either require a human driver to always be monitoring the machine's driving or take over driving when the system encounters an unexpected situation. This interplay between the human being taking control of driving and technology taking control of driving has the potential for putting the vehicle occupants and others on the road in danger. In fact, the fatal Tesla crash in 2016 and the subsequent investigation by the National Transportation Safety Board showed that driver distraction was a deadly factor. The Caravan poll asked whether there should be a minimum performance standard to make sure drivers are alert in order to safely take over driving from the automotive driving system. Again, the answer was a resounding yes by 84% of respondents. Unfortunately, the bills in the House and Senate are considering completely ignore these two critical rulemakings and others to protect the public. By contrast, minimum safety standards will result in maximum safety protection, as well as consumer confidence in these new technologies. On Tuesday, I'm traveling to the Detroit Auto Show to participate in a panel discussion with members of Congress who are the lead sponsors of this legislation. I'm looking forward to seeing firsthand the latest auto safety technologies when I'm there. But vehicle safety technologies have made major contributions to saving lives and preventing injuries. However, we need to make certain that in the rush to market, Congress and DOT do not replace human error with computer error. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Joan. I'd now like to welcome Jack Gillis, author of the iconic car book, which issued its 37th edition last year, and Director of Public Affairs for the Consumer Federation of America, who will round out this dynamic lineup of consumer and safety leaders. Jack, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Kathy. And as Kathy indicated earlier, autonomous vehicles do have the potential to be a technological vaccine that could dramatically reduce the tragic toll that autos take on our society. However, like any successful vaccine, they need to be thoroughly tested to specific standards before they are made available to the public. In addition to the various concerns already raised at this press conference, cybersecurity and data availability when it comes to the complex operational and communication systems needed to ensure safe and efficient autonomous vehicles must also be a top priority. We already know that hackers can gain control of a vehicle and put occupants at deadly risk. Given the recent record of high-profile cyber attacks at major companies, safeguards against catastrophic AV hacking are critically important. We live in a new reality where vehicles can be weaponized, and car makers have already issued safety recalls due to cybersecurity defects. On AV cybersecurity, Congress is simply asleep at the wheel, as both the Senate and the House failed to outline specific requirements of an effective cybersecurity plan. No definition, no requirements, no oversight. Just telling companies to come up with a plan is simply irresponsible when a hacker can turn a driverless car into a two-ton weapon on wheels. And consumers are concerned. In fact, the poll indicates strong support for cybersecurity rules to protect AVs from being hacked. 8 in 10 respondents across all the demographic areas support the government creating cybersecurity rules that would protect driverless vehicles from hackers. In addition to the security issues, there are also privacy and commercialization issues. Because AVs will be tracked and monitored, regulations are needed to ensure that this information remains the privy and property of the consumer. Furthermore, because of the bandwidth being allocated to AV communications, we are concerned that much of it will be used for commercialization, which can not only seriously annoy consumers, but increase the already growing problem of distracted driving. As they operate, these AVs will be collecting tremendous amounts of technical and performance data, information vital to the independent analysis of the efficacy of the various AV operations. This information needs to be made publicly available, and consumers need it to make informed purchase decisions regarding AVs, all of which will have various features and performance levels. One of the best ways to educate consumers about this new technology is to make safety information about driverless cars easily available online. Nearly 90% of the respondents to the survey believe that the government should have a website with information about AV features. In fact, needing this information generated the most support of any of the questions in the poll. But it's no surprise that the vast majority of consumers want this information. And it is especially important with AVs because, as we've mentioned, there are no standards set by DOT that make it clear what AV features can and cannot do. This database must also let consumers know which AVs are actually exempt from federal safety standards. The good news is that the DOT has a system in place. SaferCar.gov provides vehicle safety information and the ability to look up recall information by the vehicle's identification number. Manufacturers must submit AV feature information to the Department of Transportation by the VIN number so it can reside in this already created system. This will enable the over 50 million Americans who buy new and used cars to precisely determine the features of a particular AV, and the public exposure will serve to stimulate competition in developing the very best AV features. As the government and industry attempts to roll out AVs without any type of standards or consistent nomenclature, basic comparative information about AV features is an absolute minimum, and as the poll clearly shows, is a top priority for the American consumer. Consumer Federation of America appreciates the efforts that the Advocates for Highway and Auto Safety have gone to uncover Americans' attitudes to one of the most profound product introductions in the nation's history. Addressing the issues raised at this press conference, and which the poll shows consumers are clearly concerned about, will help ensure that AVs actually reach their full potential as a life-saving addition to America's highways. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jack. And I'd also like to thank again Joan and Jackie and Sean for taking the time to join this call today and share their really critical insights. I'd like to turn the call, actually, I'd like to say that the report on the survey is available on our website, which is saferoads.org. And at this time, we'll be taking calls via the operator of the from the press. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Once again, if the press would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. That's star and the number 1. This is for press only. We have a question from the line of Tom Quimby with Randall Riley.
Yes, thank you. So California requires that all autonomous vehicle collisions be reported on a separate form that specifically addresses AVs. Have any of you examined those reports? And if so, what are some of your impressions?
Yeah,
This is Joan Claybrook. The group that's been monitoring the California development of autonomous vehicles is Consumer Watchdog and Jamie Court. And I would suggest that you call them for their evaluation. They've done a lot of work looking at the crashes that have occurred, filing lawsuits to get the information out of the California Department of Transportation, and also participating in their rulemaking proceeding or proceedings on the development of the standards that they have. And I think, in general, they're pretty disappointed in the recent cutback from their proposed requirements in California to the latest thing that they issued.
This is Jackie Gillen. I'd just like to add to Joan's statement that this is a really important issue that Congress should be requiring at the federal level. You know, to have the different states have different reporting requirements, it's not really going to give us the comprehensive picture we need of how these vehicles are performing, what kind of crashes they are in, and that's why it's so critical that the Department of Transportation collect this information. Unfortunately, because DOT has decided to, you know, take a back seat in this, the states are going to have to step in and do it. But the idea of having to go to all the states and get this individual reporting requirement or reports is just ridiculous, and that is one of the most important omissions from the legislation.
I'd like to just add, this is Kathy Chase, I'd just like to add to what Jackie said, is we all know that cars do not stay in one state. So it makes no sense to have each state have their own requirements. While we applaud California's leadership in making these reports required and available, we need Congress to step up. Now is the time to do it, and we need some leadership so that driverless cars are not deployed throughout the country with any kind of reporting requirements or regulations.
Our next question comes from the line of Andrew Hawkins with The Verge.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. I'm wondering sort of where we are with the bills in Congress, with the House having passed its version and the Senate still waiting on floor action. If you feel like we've missed our window of opportunity to make the changes that you guys are recommending, or if you still feel like that there's something that can be done, if there are amendments that can be considered or debate that can still be had.
Yes, sorry, this is Kathy Chase. We definitely think there's still an opportunity to make changes into the legislation, and that was part of our motivation for commissioning this public opinion poll. Right now, we feel that the bills are tone deaf to what the American public wants, and if you pay attention to what the survey says, it outlines 8 different issues, which are critically important in terms of the development and deployment of driverless cars. Public has spoken loud and clear via this public opinion poll, and we're urging our congressional leaders to take heed to the results of the poll.
Andrew, this is Jackie Gillen. For those of us in the consumer and safety community, our mantra is ain't over till it's over. And right now you have a lot of, or you have several senators that have holds on the Senate bill because of objections, many of the issues that we have brought up today, and that the public is with them. The public is with those senators, like Senator Markey, who are concerned about the lack of a cybersecurity standard. They are with senators that want to have an AV database. They are with senators that want to have, you know, standards for these. So, you know, we are working hard to do it. The game is not over. And I think that these statements at the CES show about coming from industry, acknowledging that this is going to be a long, long journey, really important in the political debate to make sure if we're going to do it, let's make sure we do it right.
Thank you.
There are no other questions in queue at this time. Once again, if the media would like to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. That's *1 for media only.
Okay. After the call is over, or if there are any questions from non-media, you can contact Advocates for Highway and Auto Safety.
Or media,
any follow-up calls from media. For at our line, which is 202-408-1711. Let me repeat, 202-408-1711. And again, our website is saferoads.org.
Our next question comes from the line of Eric Lawrence with Detroit Free Press.
Hi, this message or this question is for Kathy Chase. You mentioned the two companies that submitted information to DOT. I was wondering who they were and how we get if we can get a copy of whatever it is they've submitted.
The two companies are Waymo and General Motors. And Sean,
we can get it for them. We can send them copies.
Yeah, I'd be glad to give you links to access them. And I think General Motors was just recently released
today. This
morning.
If you want to email us, if you email Kathy Chase at cchase@saferoads.org, we're happy to send you the copy that we have.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Of course.
We have another question from the line of Andrew Hawkins with The Verge.
Yeah, hi. I'm also wondering, with the release of the GM announcement from yesterday about producing a car by 2019 without a steering wheel and pedals, we've seen similar statements from Ford, and Waymo is getting ready to put out its car without drivers behind the wheel in Arizona. You've spoken about how some companies are taking a more cautious approach, but obviously there are many companies, these companies I just mentioned, that are taking a very aggressive approach. And I'm wondering if there's some aspect of sort of the competition between these companies that's forcing them to sort of take a more aggressive approach, and whether you feel like that they need to be dialing it back and take a more measured approach to this technology.
Hi, this is Kathy Chase. What our position is that on the road to truly autonomous vehicles, we think that the Department of Transportation needs to issue some regulations so that the American public is assured that as these vehicles with new technologies are being put onto the roads, there's a minimum level of safety and security. Right now, that is not the case. And it's true that some companies are being more aggressive than other companies in their quest. You know, they have invested billions of dollars into the future of driverless cars and want to see them on the roads. And there is certainly, you know, competition among the companies to hit the roads. But from our vantage point, we want to make sure that they're done safely and that there are precautions put into place to protect the motoring public. Like Joan said, when a family walks into a showroom, they need to know that they have the protections of the federal government when they're considering cars with autonomous features.
Andrew, this is Jackie Gillen again. It's one thing to produce a report, and it's another thing to produce a driverless car that's going to operate without error. And, you know, that's the issue that we're most concerned about. You know, it's similar to the point that Joan made about having a standard for the electronics in a car that's operated by a computer. You know, DOT does not hesitate to issue standards for, you know, automatic technology in airplanes. But with cars, it's sort of, well, give us a report, trust us. And I think the other backdrop to this is, you know, just this week we heard of another recall of Takata airbags because of deaths. You know, we have millions of vehicles right now that are under recall because of faulty airbags, faulty ignition switches, you know, hiding, as VW did, the you know, their emissions results. So I don't think that, you know, we have a lot of confidence. I guess I like President Reagan's statement many years ago, trust but verify. And when you don't have any minimum standards for these systems, sure, you're going to have a lot of companies rushing things to market that may not be ready for prime time.
Did you all catch Elaine Cho's speech at CES?
No, we haven't.
Yeah, I'm wondering what you thought about that. The message she seemed to keep repeating was, you know, we don't want to tell you what to do. We want to be a partner. We want to be a partner. We don't want to issue mandates. And that seems to be the sort of carrying over from the laissez-faire approach from the Obama administration. I'm just wondering if you have any confidence in the White House to or DOT to do its job, even if they're directed to.
This is Joan Claybrook. There is nothing in the statute that authorizes Elaine Chao to be the partner of the auto industry. What the legislation that she administers requires is that the agency, NHTSA, set safety standards. and enforce the law, ensure that the vehicles are recalled if they're defective, and do research to make sure that the agency is competent and capable of issuing these standards and has the information it needs. So she is essentially a no secretary secretary, and she is not taking the interests of the American public as her first requirement. Safety is the first priority of the U.S. Department of Transportation, and obviously Elaine Chao doesn't understand that.
Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Anna Laffrey with Mendel News Service.
Hey there. I'm wondering if you have any commentary on the moral or ethical decisions that might be involved in the technologies that are being designed by AV companies or in the regulations that you hope will be issued by Congress in the AV START Act.
Yeah, this is Sean Kildare, the Director of Research here at Advocates. The moral and ethical questions, I think, are different than the way that they've been posed. A lot of the discussion has been about the trolley problem, where a car is going to have to decide between, you know, risking the life of the occupants versus trying to avoid the school children in a group on the side of the road versus the grandmother on the curb versus, you know, the dog that's on the side of the street. I think it's been coached a much better way that the ethical considerations that are going to have to be taken here are what has to go first, be it safety, be it mobility, be it comfort. And I think we stand on the side that safety needs to be the first option, is that when it comes down to deciding whether or not you need to hit anything, the answer is you shouldn't hit anything at all. From the earlier question about whether or not we've reviewed the reports about the crashes, I think that actually brings up a good point for us. And the reason why we need standards is the fact of these vehicles, the fleet is not going to turn over immediately. We aren't going to blink our eyes and wake up the next morning and find out that all cars are now autonomous vehicles. Crashes are going to happen. They are still happening. Even, you know, the GM report that was put out stated they were in 22 crashes last year. And the fact is, these crashes are going to happen. We need standards to ensure the safety of all occupants and of everyone else that shares the road with them.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Aaron Marsh with Blue Dinner Magazine.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking the question. Through the discussion, you know, I heard a number of concerns come up about self-driving cars and the way they are now, including maybe, you know, the potential to disconnect, you know, equipment like steering wheels and actual brake pedals, to the potential for hacking and over-commercialization of these cars and so on. I wonder if you have any thoughts on liability for these systems. What should happen if these systems do fail, and if people are injured or killed or some other damage takes place? Should Congress also address the liability for these self-driving cars and systems?
Well, actually, this is Joan Claybrook. Actually, Congress has addressed it and has said that there is no exemption or change from current law. And that means that the manufacturer is going to be liable for any problems that occur that result from the design or production of these vehicles. And there's the further issue of whether or not if there are no gas pedals or steering wheels and so on, the manufacturer is going to have to be responsible for the lack of performance of the vehicle. And I know that Volvo has already announced some two years ago, I believe, that they are willing to take the full responsibility for the liability of any vehicle malperformance that results in death, injury, or crashes. So the liability system will be affected in that regard. It will be much less likely that the consumer in a fully autonomous car would be held liable and that the manufacturer would be. But in terms of the way that the liability laws work now, there's no essential change in them.
Okay. Thank you.
There are no other questions in queue at this time.
Thank you very much for joining the call today. We appreciate your participation. And again, if you have any calls, any questions, please don't hesitate to contact us at 202-408-1711. Thank you again.
That concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect your lines.